Welcome, everybody, to Real Hits. I'm Ben Albert of the Real Business Connections Network. Real Hits is where I rebroadcast some of the absolute best podcasts because they all provide real value and insights on business and life. In our book, they are Real Hits. Full episodes in their entirety. This way, you can gain more value from other podcasters, personalities, and guests. Today is a replay of the 150K podcast with Joe Graham. 150K podcast with Joe Graham. It is entitled Matthew Vincent, Living a Life Worth Dying For. I encourage you guys to subscribe to the Real Business Connections Network if you haven't done that just yet. When you're finished with that, check out the show notes and subscribe to the 150K podcast. Oh yeah, if you'd like to submit your podcast to possibly be featured on Real Hits, DM me on LinkedIn, or you can email me, ben@balbertmarketing.com. Check out the show notes, you'll find it. Uninterrupted, here we go, enjoy the show.
Welcome back to the 150K podcast. I'm your host, Joe Graham, where we help take your dreams to six figures and beyond. Today I have with me special guest, Matt Vincent. I met Matt through my friend George Bryant about 2 years ago, started following his content. He was on George's podcast. Matt, you do a bunch of stuff. I've followed you for a while. So you own a coffee brand. You own a clothing brand. You do men's retreats. You go on wild ass vacations. You just did like an epic bike journey, which looks crazy amazing. How do you even like, tell us a little bit more about you. You won two world championships,
travel quite a bit, have for a long time. So I like doing the adventure stuff. Recently I've leaned a little bit more into some of the physical parts of that, of some endurance type work, just for that's own personal stuff, which I'm sure we'll make content around, but yeah, I'm doing it for me and I'd be doing it whether or not we were filming it. All those things, the apparel brand, coffee company, podcast, you know, kind of all the things now that equal doing the digital, whatever this life is.
Yeah. No, I love that. The thing when I see your stuff, what hits my mind is you build a life by design. You build a life that you love to live and you build your businesses around that to fund the life you love. So a lot of people listening to this podcast are possibly first time in the sales or first time entrepreneurs, and they're trying to get to that first step one, as I call it. What advice would you give them about, you know, when they're starting out? Are you into like the whole grind culture? How do you approach that?
What would be the opposite of grind culture?
I don't know. Just as I'm asking.
So when you say, am I into that? I'm trying to figure out the alternative.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let me rephrase that. Some people are like, they just burn, go, go, go. And they never take time to refresh, recoup, or do things that they like. They like, you know, go from morning to night. In the beginning, is that kind of what you recommend? Or is it more of a little bit of a balance? Or
I don't really, you know, man, I don't know that I really have a recommendation. I think it really depends on what goals you want to accomplish and what your intentions are, you know, yeah. And living true to that as much as you can. You know, for me, I'm for sure go, go, go. And I'm sure I fall into grind culture 100%, but I also want life adventure now. Like, I'm not trying to build some weird safety or secure, comfortable lifestyle. It just doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't make my dick hard at all.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense. So when they're starting out and they're doing different aspects, pretty much would you say, cause you have multiple businesses and you've been doing stuff for a while. Would you say stick to one business and get that going or try different things?
I think that there's definitely going to have to be some put the compass on one thing. Like until that thing can kind of operate at a level that you're allowed to put some energy somewhere else. Yeah, you got to kind of do it all. I mean, for a lot of years, right? I mean, with Hate Brand starting out, when Hate Brand started out in 2014, coffee started in 2017. So in 2014, when Hate started out, I really didn't plan on making any income from it and really didn't make any income from it till probably 2016. Mm-hmm. At that time, I was doing outside sales, the oil and gas industry. traveling a lot and doing that thing. And that job paid great. Yeah. You know, I was doing something that was paying, 150, 160 grand a year, free truck, those type of things. And then Hate started doing well enough that whenever in 2017 they fired me, I just didn't want to look for more work. I just leaned into whatever I had going on. But at that point, right, like I am training to compete in a world championship. And, you know, I finished competing in 2016. And so I am training a lot. I am traveling a lot. I'm doing all the photo shoots for the apparel. I'm editing those photos. I'm designing all of the gear with some help of graphic designers, right? I'm not a finished graphic designer, but all the concept work or anything else, or writing the three books that kind of got Hate Brand started, the blog posts that I was doing for the 4 years before I wrote a book, the 1600 videos on my YouTube channel. And I mean, none of it's ever popped. Like none of it ever, holy fuck, we made it. Like, yeah. Holy fuck, we exploded and we're popular. It's never felt that. It's always felt like this kind of consistent up and downs. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was, you know, build hate till I have enough freedom to try another thing. And then build that till it has enough freedom to try another thing.
Yep.
And so now it's Hate. It's, we have an Airbnb rental property that we manage. We have coffee company. I've got my gym and office space here. And while I don't have an open running gym, it is a thing that requires maintenance. Mm-hmm. So it does require some form of attention. We have the podcast, which we've been really consistent on for a long time. Opening the gym up for Sunday services, which we've started to do to just kind of build a local community here in St. Louis and share ourselves and space with people. Yeah, it's busy, I guess, yeah. You know, but I like it because I'm not bored. Like my level of ADD that I deal with really requires that I keep a lot of plates spinning. Mm-hmm. And historically for me, I'm pretty much at my happiest running full speed, juggling four things. At five things, I kind of want to kill everyone around me. And at three things, I'm so bored, I want to kill everyone around me. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty fine balance for me of where I want to be. And it seems getting better at it allows me to juggle more plates. And I consider juggling those plates. They're not just the business things, but juggling those plates are, you know, balancing my relationship and connection with my lady. They are managing what I need to refill my cup too, which I know is the adventure, the travel, the experience stuff. And so being able to try to swing all those things in while still working on me.
Yeah. No, and you opened up a lot of stuff there, because I think a lot of times entrepreneurs and business owners get in their head that they have to meet all these goals or do these things, but you just said it simply to you. You have a set pattern that you did and you were consistent over time, and that's why you won. It wasn't that you had the overnight success, one big hit.
But no one does.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and if you get that pop, it's a moment. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not a business.
No.
And so, like, if you don't have the ability to figure it out without those other type of things, or if you're trying to run your business, it's like, fuck, man, if we can just get that one influencer to come on board, it'll change it. It won't.
No.
It's not gonna alter anything. It's a day. Mm-hmm. And you only get to collect really well off of those spikes if you have the buckets in place to catch it.
Yeah, I agree. It's funny because, like, even with this podcast, I've done 87 episodes so far, and I've had some pretty big name people, and they'll give you just a little spike, but it's the consistency over time that's grown the podcast. It wasn't just having that one name person. No, I hear you there for sure.
Yeah, in the same way, a lot of what I apply to business is the same thing that I applied to my training for becoming a world champion. I can't outsource any of that shit. Like, I can't outsource going to the gym. I can't outsource, you know, following my program, and I can't outsource doing the throws work and being analytical about the work I want to get done. And like, what are we improving on, and being able to say like, fuck, that doesn't feel good, but this does. Like, how can we address those things? And I know, especially with throwing being such a technical sport, that there's so many things I need to know that will happen because we've built habit. So, for example, heavyweight for distance, one of the events we throw. Like the approach of that is there's, yeah, I know I'm thinking about the cast. I know where I throw the weight out in front of me. And then from there, where I'm going to catch and land and then sprint across the back, get to the front, plant, catch again, load, throw, finish the throw. There's a lot going on. Turn the right foot, move all these things. And if I know that 95% of those things have been now assigned to muscle memory because I've done them 10,000 times, I can start to say, well, what happens if I speed up the entry a little bit? Because I don't have to worry about the other things taking care of themselves. I can play with one variable at a time. And because the businesses now or the podcast or anything have gotten consistent over that type of work that we've put in, I can play with changing a variable to see, does that change it? You know, okay, well, like, why don't we edit the content we're doing a little bit differently? Why don't we, what worked, what were the best three things that we did last year and why? And start trying to look at that and how do we replicate?
Yeah. And I think that's key because like you said, you have your processes in place, you have your system set up, and now you can tweak it to see if it makes it a little bit better here or there. So you've been into, because I know you do a lot with this as well. You do a lot with like self-care. I call it self-care. Like I see you do the cold plunges. I know you do a bunch of other stuff. How important do you feel that is for entrepreneurs and let's just say even high achieving people? Because there's like a lot of salespeople that listen to this as well.
Yeah. I think all that's super important. Yeah, man, total transparency. Like right now I'm burnt. I'm gassed and probably battling a little bit of underlying depression that I don't deal with. And it's just because as I've ramped up my output of energy with having a mentorship group now with 1612 and working with people and hosting retreats and doing these other type of things where I'm really fucking bearing it. The standard things that would refill my cup pretty easily aren't refilling enough. And so I need to take some more drastic measures. Otherwise, I know where this goes. And where it'll go for me is at some point I'll say, fuck this, and I'll burn it all to the ground.
Yeah.
In one way or another.
But that's good that you have the awareness, though, because like a lot of people don't have that awareness.
These are all the things I do really love. Yeah. Yeah, it's a double-edged sword because I kind of constantly dig in and think like, fuck, what am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing? Where are we optimizing? Why aren't I feeling better? X, Y, and Z. But yeah, having that self-care routine, like my morning routine is really, really important to me. And as long as I get some of that in the morning to kind of address my shit and have a plan for the day before I start being on the defensive about the rest of the needs that come from my things drawing from me, I'm much better. So if I take that time in the morning and be selfish with it to say like, yo, I need to refill. I need that time to move. I need that time to sit in the sauna and meditate and listen to new information and find something inspiring for me instead of just putting out.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree 100%. I actually started going to the gym at 5:15 in the morning, doing like a kickboxing strength training workout. And since I've done that for the past 2 months, I'm a lot more clear. And then I'll come home and I'll listen to a podcast before I go to my day job. And it's just that I agree. Like you can't, I think we get into this mindset that we had to give, 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 and we forget that we have to fill ourselves back up. Or like you said, we're going to burn out 100%.
Well, and look, make no mistake. This is a very uniquely American thing.
Yeah.
But so much of that is built on the materialistic side of what we're all pretty fucking drawn to. The idea of being rich, the idea that rich equals freedom, the idea that rich gives you the options to do these things. And it's not fucking really true.
Yeah.
I know plenty of people with tons of fucking money who don't have any free time to do shit. I know tons of people with tons of money who aren't happy. I also know people that live in a fucking van who have nothing that are stoked.
Yeah.
So some balance there, right? But the awareness is if you don't know the thing that actually brings you joy and enthusiasm, then what are you going to chase? Because it ain't fucking money.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, at least it isn't some arbitrary number in a bank account sitting somewhere. You know, I'm far more interested in the lifestyle of being a millionaire than I am the actual having that money in my account. And that lifestyle for me of being a millionaire is that I get to chase and pursue whatever the fuck I want to every day. Yeah.
No, I love that.
Doesn't mean I don't have shit to chase and pursue, but I'm picking them.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Because like in my sphere and the people that I've talked with, and I actually did oil and gas sales in the past too, so I understand that world. It's not the money for me. It's the experiences. Like my wife loves cars. I could care less about a car, but you tell me I can go like to Hawaii or Bali or somewhere fun, I'm in. Like it's finding right. What it is life by design for you and filling that up so that you can do what you want. Like you said, it's not the money amount. It's the freedom to do what I want. When
that's
I want.
What I want. Right. And if that is road trip and be in a van for 2 weeks, then so fucking be it. I need to build my life around making sure that I have that outlet, because I know if I'm not doing that, I'm not going to do the other stuff as well.
Yeah. No, that's cool.
And so, and so the awareness of fucking know who you are, right? Like, so that's one of those things. I spoke this weekend at a friend's event, and hearing people talk that, man, they've made a lot of really hard life decisions that are hard to back out of without having any fucking clue of who they are or what they want. They've chased a lot of things that are told this will fill that cup.
Yeah.
And like, we live in an incredible time in human history. I mean, honestly, for what? Probably the last, let's call it 150 years, if we're really going to try to be clear on it. For the last 150 years of life on Earth, people haven't had to worry much about existential shit.
Right.
Some have gotten lucky enough too. They can't avoid it. And we have plenty of those folks, but for the most part, people are concerned about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Where's food, shelter, love, those type of things. Now, if we live in a world where food and shelter have become abundant, then you get to start worrying about this type of shit. And this stuff gets messy.
Yep.
Because it only has answers that come from you.
And I think people don't always want that. Like they want to, if you just go do this, you're good. And in reality, that might be good for someone else. It doesn't mean it's good for you. Like, yeah, that resonates with me a lot. So is that something with doing the mentorship and the speaking that you're finding with a lot of like entrepreneurs or high achievers that they think that this is their one goal. And then once they get there, it's like, oh shit, I'm still having to deal with me and my stuff.
I've seen it. It's just as common as the other. In fact, I find probably people who are really stoked all the time, I find that much less common. I mean, in fact, the people that I know that I would consider happy, like overall happy a lot of the time, they make me a bit uncomfortable, which is a really odd thing to say, is that like, there's a little bit too much light there.
Mm-hmm.
I end up pretending it's bullshit. That it's fake. And I've been fortunate enough now at this point to be around people that I know that it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you kind of see that, just like anything else that you see, holy shit, I have friends that are buying helicopters. That means like, that's a fucking real thing that people do that I know. This isn't just left to someone that is a fantasy I'll never share that time with. But like, yeah. I've been in helicopters. My friends have. And air, you know, whatever it is, these big fucking dream ideas that they've built, that wasn't handed down from some generational wealth or any of this type of shit. They're a bunch of idiots just like us who fucking mm-hmm. got it done. And seeing that the same way as seeing like, wait, someone's happy all the time, or not happy, but just can be in abundance and be in gratitude all the time. They're different. Yeah, I guess defining those two things is different.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying with that, because like I've been in different rooms and you go into rooms with people and you're like, okay, this person's shit. This person's real. And you're like, you're watching them and you're like, okay, there's something different. Then you get to know them more and understand where that comes. I almost call it contentment. Maybe they're not always like happy, but they're content with where they're at. Even though they're moving to get farther along, normally they're not like
Well, content and complacent aren't the fucking same thing.
Right.
I can be very happy in where I'm at and being abundance and still want to build, because you know, our very simple unalienable rights in this country, right? Like life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Mm-hmm. I think it's really, really important that we look at that, that it is written specifically as pursuit of happiness. Yep. And not fucking happiness. Those are very different things. And perhaps the genius there, if that's what the foresight is, who knows? But I can interpret it however I fucking feel like, is that the joy is in the pursuit. The joy is in the progress. The joy is in the problem solving. The joy is in the figuring it out, because, you know, just a moment, there's no way to replicate. But if you've done the work to build it, you have a lot of systems in place to kind of figure out what gets it done. Mm-hmm. You know, you know that showing up every day and taking action over the long term does the thing, and there's no way to fake it.
Yeah.
And I think that pursuit is where the happiness is, right? Like there's not any books about the view from Everest.
Right.
No one gives a shit. You can buy it. But you can't buy the lessons learned on the struggle. Mm-hmm. You can't buy any of the lessons learned on the come up. And I can't live yours. Like, I have to have my own things I've overcome and my own challenges, and everyone's going to have them. How you decide to rise to that occasion is up to you, and what tools that you've brought with you to handle those things is up to you to develop those skills in the same way I need to figure out marketing. Mm-hmm. Because as I'm going to go forward, this isn't going to get less stressful. It hasn't in the last 10 years. I don't know why I would lie to myself and pretend that it ever will. And if that's what this is, then I better fucking love it.
Yeah.
Because this is where we're headed.
Yeah. Well, and it is so true. Just looking, like, just thinking about different things that I've done. When you win the award, like you said, it's for a half a second. And then you're like, okay, what's next? It's the whole process of learning it.
Those moments are recognition that the process works. Mm-hmm. They're not recognition that you're there. You know, winning a world championship's a fucking day. And what it was is, you know, it's something stating that our fucking plan worked.
Yep.
You know, not only did our plan work, we timed it up for when it counts. You know, we battled all that extraordinary bullshit and voices in your head and any of those little things or anxiety that's telling you, get the fuck out of here. And the alarm bell's going off and you show up and do your fucking job. Mm-hmm. And you perform when it counts. Like, that's where confidence comes from. That's where all those things build, is from you showing up and realizing, I didn't fucking die.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's so crazy, because I think people always have this glorious idea of it. But once you've done it, and once you've been in a room, it's not, like, I've been to Hawaii like 3 times. I love Hawaii. I'll go back again. But I've been there now. It's not like that epic, oh, this is Hawaii. And I talk to people, I'm like, it's just normal now to me. And but I don't know,
I've been to Iceland 13 times. I feel that way every time I'm there.
Yeah. And see, for me, because I've not been to Iceland yet, that looks like a badass trip. Like, I see it like, it's, I want to go
incredible
there.
Incredible place.
And I think it's just being in the room, showing up, you know, getting to the place where you want to be and living that life that you love. And I think too many times people just live through other people and have this random dream instead of putting the work in and going after it and getting it done. And I'd rather just get it done. I'm with you there.
Well, and I guess kind of overall life philosophy too, is that there's not a risk to it. Like, I'm going to fucking die either way. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, this, I don't know when. I mean, I'm not exactly certain that I can get home today. Right? Like, that's not 100% chance. And so I don't know when that time comes, but I know damn sure I have 2 choices. I can either spend it playing it pretty safe and trying to be comfortable and fitting in and not making waves, or I can do whatever the fuck I want.
Yep.
And if I'm going to die at the end of both, I'm damn sure just going to do whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah. So did you always have this mentality? Because I know now I have that mentality, but when I was younger, I was caught up in the, I want to please this person, I want to please that person. I finally got to the point where, like, this just fucking sucks. Why am I doing this? They don't care what happens to me. They're just thinking about them. But did you always just have that thought process, or did you have to fix it?
Probably to some extent. There's definitely, if I look back, right, historically at what I've done of, you know, got out of college and, or even then, right, like that I didn't pursue football in college and decided to do track and field. This was a bit of a right or a left turn in life. Instead of following my brother, I also played college football and onward toward that. Yeah, I went along with track and field, tried something else to do my thing. Went to college, and I really expected college to kind of be what my generation was sold on. It was, is that this would be, once I have this, things will be a lot easier on the backside. And that's just a fucking lie.
Yeah.
And maybe it was at some point, but it isn't anymore. I think that education system in our country, I think we have to really question whether or not it's valuable. I don't know that it is.
No, I would agree with you.
Fucking waste.
Yeah.
Especially where we're currently at with it, when it teens to be a bit of a really, really fucking incredible marketing that they've pulled off, you know, post World War II with the boomer generation, that A, if you don't go to college, you're a fuck up.
Yeah.
And kind of the entitlement too, as well, of that, like, I'm going to college.
Yeah.
Whereas I probably would have benefited a shitload more going to vocational school and learning how to be a plumber, carpenter, welder, or any of those type of things. Mm-hmm. They'd be a hell of a lot more fucking useful than the education I got.
Yeah.
And that's my fault. It's not that the education wasn't available. It's that that system doesn't work for me. Sitting in a classroom and being spoke at is not how I absorb information. It's not how I do very well. I'm smart enough to make C's and do very, very little effort.
Yep.
But for me to make A's took 100% focus. I just never felt any better about making them.
Mm-hmm.
And so what the fuck am I putting the energy into it?
Yeah.
And there was definitely a lot of that, you know, kind of societal norms put in, right? Like, I mean, at that point, like, I finished college, I went in to try to do entrepreneurship with a bike shop. It failed. I went back to bouncing and DJing and whatnot at the strip club I worked at while I was in college, and then on to a regular job, 9-to-5 sale, you know, regular. And it's not really a regular job because it's still outside sales. Like, I haven't been to an office and punched a clock and gone to a place since like 2008.
Yeah.
So I'm a bit detached from that reality. For fucking good reason.
Yeah, it doesn't fit for you. Yeah.
No, it's not for me. It would be really, really bad, and I would fail there. Whereas left to my own devices and up to my own responsibility for my life, I'm doing very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's just that whole ownership thing. You built the life you wanted, but it had to be you building it, not someone else telling you what to do.
Well, that's the only way it works, right? And the total accountability that you find with being able to say that, like, it takes a lot for people to realize that there aren't really any rules, that you don't have to do shit. You don't have to go to college to be happy. You don't have to go to college to make a good living. Your parents don't have to like what you do for a living. In fact, your parents don't even have to fucking like you.
Right.
And getting to an age like, you know, at close to 40 now, it's opened my eyes to a lot more empathy for a lot of those positions of just realizing, like, ah, fuck. You also just have no fucking clue what you're doing. That's it. That's really all it is. And most people have followed that path. And I don't blame the boomers for it, right? They came from a generation that actually lived in scarcity.
Mm-hmm.
And so the ultimate fucking American dream for their generation was comfort and sustainability. And so they tried to pass that on to us, but it was after being instilled with, you can do anything you want.
Yeah.
If you work hard, which isn't true. Working hard isn't enough.
No.
You also need to figure out what your skills and what your value is and how to play to those strengths. There's no amount of coaching or effort or work, which I have tons of, that's going to help me play in the NBA.
Nope.
And if that's my idea of success, then I'll fucking always fail.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not entitled to it because I worked really hard.
Right. Yeah.
So figuring out what works for me and what actually lights my fire is That's for me to figure out. No one can point you at it. And if you don't know what your purpose is or where your drive's going to go, that should be your fucking purpose, is to find it.
Yeah.
Not everyone needs to be a fucking entrepreneur. This isn't for everyone.
No, not at all. Not at all. In fact, I actually tell people a lot of times, I'm like, you know, try sales first. That's like entrepreneur light. You don't have the overhead, but you still have to go in, out and kill, as how I would call it. You have to go out and make your sales, do your stuff, be responsible and take 100% ownership. You just
fucking
have
cold
back.
Call people for fucking 4 or 5 hours a day.
Yep.
Yeah. Get over hearing no.
Yeah.
What a fucking useless bit of information I find no from someone is at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Okay. That means not now.
Yep.
We'll try again later. You'll forget that I called.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's so funny. And even in the tiers of sales, because I'm in the sales world. So I do sales training. I still have a day job. I started the podcast. I'm kind of making that shift. And it's just so funny to see the different people. They'll get told no once. I'm like, why are you in sales? Just leave. If you can't handle no, this is not going to work for
you. Which is so not important.
Yeah.
Because I only need it to work out once.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't need an 85% success rate on calls.
No.
And not only that, like, you figure out your success, right? Right? Like, I learned early on with my sales thing when I got into that job that, like, had a list of the numbers I was going to call that day for the potential customers I was trying to reach at their desk. I also learned that my best time to reach them at their desk was between 6:30 and 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
While they're having their cup of coffee and before anything else starts onslaughting them, I can just be nice and ask if I can take them to lunch.
Yep.
That's it. Not overwhelm them with shit. Not ask them a lot of questions. Just have a conversation. Be nice to them and try to provide value.
Yeah.
Make them want to take my call instead of dodge me because I'm trying to sell them a thing.
Yep.
I don't sell anything so fucking unique that people can't get it elsewhere. So what people are buying is me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. Like that, I teach that all day long. Like it, I think people get into the watch the videos and they go, well, you got to do this technique or that technique. I kill them with kindness. Like you just said, relationship. I connect with them. I set up a time that works for them. I talk to them. That's it. They're either going to buy or not. That's not my job. My job is to make them make a decision. That's all.
And I even, you know, for a lot of that job, I had to let go of it too, because like I didn't do a lot of quoting, and we're quoting big jobs in the service industry to the refinery. So it's, you know, $1 million jobs up to $10 million jobs. And I'm not in control of the quote. And I know that my customer is going to have to go to a bidding process, and they're not in control to just hand me the work. Sometimes it works out, right? Like there's an X amount of job that they don't have to get approval for other things. So making sure I get all that low hanging fruit and then build the repertoire of being able to say, look, these guys do good work for us all the time, but waiting to hit that big home run. Like if we can't do the small ones, they're not giving us the fucking big one.
Right.
And realize that some of that gets out of my hand, and that doesn't change my relationship to that customer. I can't let that be the deciding factor. I'm like, look, man, whether the job gets landed by us isn't on me, especially if it's got to go through a closed bid process with purchasing or some other thing like that. Fuck, I haven't thought about that shit in a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you just control what you can control. And that's the part I think that they just forget, or they watch too many Hollywood movies where the guy just says something perfect and then everyone throws money at them. And that's not how this works at all.
Oh, man. Basing your life off of someone's story that gets wrapped up into 90 minutes.
Yep. Yep.
Jordan Belfort's really exciting.
Yeah, it's great for TV and Hollywood and, you know, for you to let your mind go for a moment. But yeah, in relationships.
And those people exist.
Mm-hmm.
I've met a handful of those type of guys.
Yeah.
I don't have what they have.
No, me neither.
In the same way, I don't have the tools LeBron James does to play basketball. These aren't tools I'm going to learn. They're things I could get better at, but I don't have whatever that, you know, especially now, like you see different levels of everything. You see it in sales guys. You see it in relationship builders. You see it in podcast hosts. You see it across the board, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm doing more speaking stuff, man, when I see someone or like what a different appreciation now I have for someone, say, like Tony Robbins. Mm-hmm. And while I've always felt that shit's cheesy, I felt self-help stuff's a little fucking weird, which is what a weird thing that's built into our culture. That the idea of trying to improve yourself is somehow a weakness because you're stating you'd like to be better.
Yeah.
Oof. That's a lot to unpack anyway. But seeing someone like Tony Robbins and realize like, holy fuck. Yo, that guy's basically a wizard. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't got what he's got.
No. No. Yeah, I've seen him a few times and I'm just like, wow. And like, there's just certain wordsmiths, people that they're just going to have that way that they say something that will connect with people better. But it goes back to what you said earlier. You work on what you're good at. You do the best you can at that. And you help who you can and you build your life. You can't be them. Don't try to be someone else. You're going to fucking fail at it.
Yeah, it gets really tough if you're going to spend your whole life, you know, especially with now social media and trying to find the marketing approach to that and building content and what is important, whether that's likes or follows or fucking whatever it is, right? Comments. If you're focused on that and you're always worried about growing it, you're not giving any attention to the people that have already raised their hand and said, I'm in. Mm-hmm. And the better move is to focus on the people that have already raised their hand, and that'll draw the other people to you instead of chasing people who don't have their fucking hands up.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, just keep leading.
Yeah, I think people just think that they have to. They get focused on the wrong stuff is what it seems like, because I agree with you 100%. If you take your customer on the right customer journey and you help them and you do what they need, they're going to tell their friends and all about you, and then you can just do your content and it will draw it. But if you're just chasing the people, like you said, that aren't ready, there's no point, because it's not our job to make them.
No, you're just annoying.
Yeah.
You know, look at even the idea of no one wants to deal with an insurance agent until I need insurance. Mm-hmm. And then I'm very, very interested.
Yep.
And so it doesn't mean that what you're selling is not valuable. It just means you're talking to an audience that ain't fucking buying. Mm-hmm. So how do you pre-qualify your audience to know that they already have their hands raised, that they want more of this, that they want your information, right? And so, look, it took me a long time with the podcast to kind of come to grounds with the right idea of how to do it, because I felt so much that I was talking to new podcast guests. Because if a guest was on or any of this, so I wanted to give them my best shit. Mm-hmm. And so then my best shit gets really repetitive.
Yeah.
And so I forget that I have people that have listened to 200 episodes of this and like, fuck, man, we're doing this story again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm with you. Like my first 10 were, like we were talking about beforehand, my first 10 were scripted. And I was like, this sucks. And then I had a good buddy of mine go, dude, you do sales, just ask questions and talk to people. And once I did that, it got a lot better. But I was like thinking, oh, I have to do it like Lewis Howes, or I had to do it like this. Like, no, I just got to do it.
Lewis Howes.
Yeah. Because he always just asked questions. Like when I remember when I listened to him back in the day, he would just have his little questions and be like, it works for him. It doesn't work for me that way.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to run Lewis's show. Gotcha. Personal taste, whatever.
No, I hear you. I hear you. I was just thinking of his questions that he.
Yeah, of course, of course. He's an odd trigger for me for whatever reason.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I mean, so with everything that we've been talking about and moving forward with this, we talked a little bit about self-care. You did do the really cool like motorcycle Indian thing. Tell us a little bit more about that, because I've been watching some of the videos like on the Instagram reels and all. Where did that concept come from? Did they just come to you and say, "Hey, you're awesome. Do this," or how did that come about?
No, that's never how it's worked out.
I know.
No one's ever fucking called me and been like, "Hey, Matt, you're awesome. Let's go do this." So, last year during May, I got invited with some friends to go on a motorcycle trip. It was Steffi Cohen, Matt Frazier, and Hayden. And we got invited to go on a trip with Indian. At that point, I've owned a motorcycle in a previous point in my life. Drove one for my only form of transportation for a number of years back when I was back in Louisiana and long before I became an adult. So I know how to ride. So that part was great. So I had to go refresh her motorcycle license, do those type of things in a very short amount of time, get out to California and go do that trip. And on that trip, we had someone along the lines ride with us, Sean McDonald, and he works with Indians influencer program, those type of things. And he and I hit it off. I found that trip to be really different than I expected. It was far more mindfulness meditation of being on the bike and taking some time to really think and dig in and getting to see that landscape and such a new experience from on a motorcycle. I thought was something I really didn't expect to change me. Mm-hmm. Because man, I travel and road trip a lot. I love it. And I didn't realize that this was such a different way to do it.
Yeah.
And so he and I had hit it off and we pitched the idea of this travel show to Indian. They had a new bike coming out that they needed to put marketing power behind, the Pursuit, their big bagger touring bike. And so we set it up. And I mean, Indian's side of that job said, here's your budget. Can you do it? And we said, yeah. And so we did. We planned and put together and shot and edited and, you know, did the story and did all of that production work for three trips this year. We did Charleston, South Carolina to the tip of the Keys in Florida. We did San Francisco to Joshua Tree. Mm-hmm. And then the last one we finished up for the year was Portland to Seattle through Coeur d'Alene, Idaho and things like that. And all three are the hardest thing I've ever done. Not the motorcycle riding part. Riding a motorcycle for fucking 6 days through beautiful countryside is really fun and great and easy. Mm-hmm. Managing production and then also kind of being a middle ground between I'm hosting a show, so I have to maintain this relationship with the guest and not show frustration or any of the behind the scenes shit so that I can be friendly on camera and have conversations that we need to have for the story. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, every night trying not to fucking pull all my hair out.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd say an equal number of nights on those trips ended with me really frustrated and in tears. And then the other nights were really happy, grateful of like, we did it.
Yeah.
Overall, I'm really happy with the product we put out. But there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in that product. Yeah.
Well, I think.
And it definitely changes how I look now at, like, you know, someone like Anthony Bourdain of, fuck, man, you did like 15 of those a year for a decade.
Yeah, I know who he is. I just can't think of the name of it. Mm.
Yeah, he Bourdain did No Reservations and, a lot of shows, Kitchen Confidential, No Reservations, and Places Unknown, Parts Unknown.
Parts Unknown. Yeah, that was a fun show to watch.
Yeah, that was the last one he did on CNN that kind of got to be more of the adult op-ed version of traveling, which was really cool to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's got to be crazy, though. I'm just thinking about, like, you doing this whole trip and running in, because it wasn't like you were just experiencing it. You had the whole aspect of it. So you said that was like the hardest thing you've done? Like, you've done a lot of hard things, Matt. So when you say that's one of the hardest things you've done, that's got to be up there.
It took so much out of me. Mm-hmm. Because not only that, I am doing all that while being on a motorcycle for probably 10 hours that day.
Yeah.
And like being on a motorcycle for 10 hours a day is a lot anyway. You're fucking busy. Mm-hmm. Like you're not in a car. No. It's not autopilot. I mean, it's not like I'm trying to fucking balance the thing the whole time, right? But I still have to ride a motorcycle and be in the wind and be in 40 degree rain and fucking cold for 6 hours and still manage a conversation at the end of the day. Also, I'm concerned with people who came along on the trip who are or aren't experienced motorcycle riders and how comfortable they are with doing things like, hey, for the next 15 minutes through this section of really windy roads, we're all going to ride as close to the fucking van as possible, as fast as we can to get this shot.
Yeah.
And like that, it feels like a lot to ask. I don't mind asking me to do shit, but to have someone else and me feel very responsible for safety and all those type of things of like, God forbid something happens, and yo, shit happens. Mm-hmm. And luckily, you know, we're really fortunate. So there wasn't any like dangerous moments of us getting scared, but hey, you're still four people on fucking motorcycles.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's still, that's definitely, I can see where that would be kind of crazy there. So, and I'm thinking about like, cause you do so many different stuff. There's so many different ways I want to go. Cause like, I'm a big coffee drinker. I have some of your coffee coming. It should get here soon. Cause you told me to get the Guatemalan. And then I did get the Ethiopian because I love Ethiopian. I have an espresso machine. I'm like, I'm a coffee snob. I'll admit it.
Well, we have an espresso roast in the works.
Cool.
Yeah, that'll be soon. Not dead yet.
Yeah. Well, I will get that one when it comes out then, because like I said, I have an espresso machine. I grind my whole beans. It makes the espresso for me. It's perfect. What is your, so you do so many things though. Like what is your favorite business brand you have right now, or you don't have a favorite? Well, maybe that's not the right question to ask.
I don't really look at it that way. Like I kind of just look at it as all my life. Mm-hmm. My life has a lot of moving pieces.
Yeah.
And I've put them all in place, and so I like them, and occasionally they need to be decided, do they need to stay? You know, or is this one taking away from that? Like, it's always got to be on the chopping block and be as emotionless as I can be about making good decisions about it.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Because you want to make sure you have everything built so that you can do with the things you love to do.
Right.
Yeah. Because you're going, like, I think I saw this in your stuff recently. You guys have another trip coming up that you guys can
do. We leave Friday for Alaska.
Yeah.
I go to Bali in October, and I'm currently training to do a 240-mile bike ride in a day with Kelly Starrett. And then in December, it looks like I'll be going to Hawaii to do a 50-mile ruck with this really rad company, 50 for the Fallen.
That is cool. That is crazy. So you're going to...
Yeah, 50 for the Fallen, sorry.
Tell us a little bit more about that. So 50 for the Fallen, what is that program?
So 50 for the Fallen is an organization that's 501c. They've doing charity work, and they're helping raise money. So they kind of operate as an event, like a Spartan race type thing. And the idea of it is during this 50-mile ruck and this shared experience you have with people, that you really get a chance to kind of reflect on the people in your life or the people who can't be here for whatever reason, that you are taking this moment to celebrate life and use your body and slow down time and be in a hard thing as a level of gratitude for those who can't.
I love that.
You know, a little bit of carrying the torch. And so we're doing one in Hawaii in December for Pearl Harbor Day. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the training leading up to it and the challenge of doing it and, you know, seeing what comes out of me.
Yeah. This is where my mind's going. You're doing the bike training and then you're going to be doing the ruck. Can you do the training to help for both of those? Because those are two distinctly different.
Yeah, but they're not.
They're not? Okay, cool.
No, they're still not, right? Like, I mean, the bike ride, to do that 240-mile ride in that day, I mean, that still means I need to figure out fuel and how to maintain moving at like 140 beats a minute heart rate for probably 17 to 20 hours. Same training. So essentially right now, the biggest goal is build as big of a zone 2 cardio capacity as I can. Mm-hmm. Like sit on the bike and pedal. Like, it's fucking lazy work. Right. Like, I mean, it's not exciting.
No.
And for me as an athlete who came from so many different things in the strength background, it's the polar opposite end of the spectrum of training. And it's hard for a different set of reasons.
Yeah.
Like, I don't ever have that hard moment of like, oh shit, what if I don't hit this squat? I'll get crushed. Mm-hmm. But you know, if I'm not prepared for that 17-hour day,
yeah,
I'm going to get crushed and then I won't finish. And so I'd be damned that if all I've got to do is spend the time sitting there spinning my wheels, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. And I want, the goal isn't like a speed goal or how quickly I can finish it. The goal is I want to spend as much time of it not saying, what the fuck are we doing this for? And the better shape I'm in and the more that I'm prepared for it, the more that I can go into it and actually be enjoying the actual thing.
Yeah, no, that's amazing, dude. That is amazing. You have from listening to you talk, you have a mental toughness that I will say that most people don't have. because a lot of people like the idea of doing things, but they don't actually go through the process or put in the work to do it. So I commend you for that. Cause like, I'm just, it's like a pattern that I hear in each and every time that when you're speaking, whether it's your business, the physical things, whatever you're doing, you just set your mind and you just go at it.
Well, it's not important to anyone else. Right. And so if I live in a life that I'm totally responsible and totally accountable for my life, and I only do things I give a fuck about, which the opposite side's true, right? That means I don't do things I don't care about. Mm-hmm. And if this is something I care about, then do the fucking work. Like, you signed up for this. No one's asked you to do this. This isn't forced. This isn't some job you'll be fired from if you don't show up. You want this. Mm-hmm. And so I seek out challenges and shit I want to do because I want to explore parts of me that I don't know about. Like, I get strength. There isn't anything else for me to learn about squatting a heavy barbell.
Right.
Or the work it takes to get to whatever the max potential strength this machine holds. I found those numbers. I don't need to continue to hold them.
You know what I mean?
Like, you know, if I ever get to go 200 miles an hour in a car, I don't have to do it every week to say that I went 200 miles an hour in a car. It's a life experience. It's a lesson learned. It's a tool built. You know, it's an experience that I get to take forward with me to apply to the next thing. I know how to physically get better at things. It takes a really fucking long time of showing up and just doing it. And so just apply the same rules.
Yeah. Well, and with you doing weight training and stuff, I think I might've heard it when you were on George's show. It's like you would go a year to get like 5% better or just a little bit. So like you have dialed that shit in. Like,
yeah. And I mean, that's how anything gets better, right? Like there's always the newbie gains that are going to ramp up and there's always this big moment of like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
But once you kind of get to where potential starts getting leaked, you know, or potential starts getting maxed out, you really have to start optimizing some other shit. Like, is my sleep good? Am I doing any of the self-care stuff to allow me to push? You know, am I monitoring my hormones? What am I taking as far as supplementation to be better? You know, how am I spending myself to enhance that performance?
Yeah. No, like I said, I'm new in this aspect of the journey because I've been in sales work for a long time, but I've started getting into self-care, doing breath work, doing the different things that I did a cold plunge when I was in Montana, doing just different things that, you know, pushed me. And to some people, you know, you've been doing it for a while, but to me, it's like, oh crap, this is pushing me at this point.
Yeah,
just
it should.
Better.
When it doesn't matter when you start it, you're not late.
Yeah.
I mean, fucking people have used ice baths for a long time. I found it in 2015. I'm not exactly new to the game.
Yeah.
Now how consistently I find it valuable and want to integrate it into my life is my choice. Mm-hmm. And if it's something that I find valuable and I integrate into my life, then I have to decide, is this something I'm permanently adding into my life? And some things, yeah, and some things not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because sometimes you do something, you get the experience. Like you said, you're done with it. There is stuff, you find it makes you stronger, better overall.
Right, like drinking, right? Like, I've got my experience there. I did that. I got to use that drug for what it is and the good and the bads of it and all those type of things. And at this point in my life, it's no longer valuable. There's better options.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just finding what, like you said, again, what works for you. 100% ownership in what you're doing. Do stuff that you love. Don't do stuff you hate.
And not only that, I'll remove any filter of right or wrong or should or shouldn't. And it's solely an experiment of, did I get the positive response I wanted or did I not? And if it is positive, fuck, let's do more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, society's norms, but again, you're living the life by design that you love.
Sure, but a lot of people get hung up on them.
Yeah.
I mean, even look at something as simple or silly as cannabis. I mean, how many people hold that as a, but it's illegal? Yeah. Or believe it was made illegal for a dangerous reason that we should believe the just say no culture and that wasn't built as better lobby for fucking alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah, and pharmaceutical companies to make money. Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm at a very clear point that I can't believe my government has my best interest at heart.
We agree.
And which is fine. They never have. I fucked that up in the past thinking that someone did. They don't. And so I'll handle my life accordingly. I prefer knowing they don't. Because then I don't ever think they will. You can't lie to me. I know you're full of shit. And that's, just so we're clear, when I say government, for anyone listening, anyone involved. Any of these fucking geriatrics running around pretending they have any concept of what's right or wrong or better for anyone, that's not what they're doing.
Yeah. So. No, they're paid off. I think they should have to wear their little sponsors. Like whatever.
Fucking like NASCAR jerseys when they're
just like a NASCAR jersey. That'd be great.
That would be great.
That would make me
happy. We're not fucking far, man. Yeah. We're not far. As much as we love this right and left as a team that we're part of, yeah, we're not far from fucking putting numbers on them in Congress.
Yeah.
I mean, people are starting to celebrate politicians like they're superstars and some shit. When did we forget that these are crooked fuckers?
Yeah, I don't know. That's crazy.
Right? Like, that's been the stereotype of politicians forever, is that they're crooked fuckers.
Yeah. But only yours, not mine. When did we stop pretending that? Yeah. I think people just get so caught up in their person's right, and they don't even research it. They're just, oh, he agrees with me, so they're right. Or she, it's not. They're
trickle down from one authority to the next, from God to whoever the next person is, right? That, like, it's right. Fuck does right mean?
Yeah. And right for you might not be right for me.
No. And back to that point, right? Like, make sure that you know your definition of success. Mm-hmm. And don't try to fulfill someone else's fucking idea of what success should look like.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree 100% because, you know, a lot of people in my space that I talk to, like, I want to be a multimillionaire. I'm like, do you want the schedule of a multimillionaire? Do you want the responsibilities of that?
Right.
What do you want? What do you want your life to be?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Tim Ferriss covers that shit great in 4-Hour Work Week or anything else.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good dude. I like his stuff.
Tim's fun. I've been fortunate enough to spend quite a bit of time with him personally, and Tim's a really, really good guy.
Yeah. I've heard him speak a few times. I like a lot of what he does. What have we missed here, Matt? I know we've been going for about an hour and all, so anything else? Quick. Yeah. Yeah. Well, when you're having a good conversation, it makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah. I guess I could talk a little bit about 1612 and kind of what that is and what my other things are. So, I mean, I've got Hate Brand Goods, I've got Habit Coffee and all those type of things. And the 1612, working that mentorship was a lot of it started with this reflection back to my dad passing away. And when my dad passed away, April 5th in 2014, he was 62, died of pancreatic cancer. And I turned 31 the day after. And that was a really loud alarm bell for me of like halfway. That realistically, you could be halfway through it. I mean, fuck, we could be a lot more than halfway through it. But at that moment, like, it was probably that first real acknowledgement of like, it's coming. And so at that point, like, over the years, the more and more I thought about it, and the more I got to thinking that if I am halfway, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
Am I spending this time doing a bunch of shit that I'm supposed to be doing, which whatever the fuck that means? Or am I doing things I care about? I mean, look, I still have responsibilities to pay bills and make a living. I'm not running around in the woods naked and asking for people to support my lifestyle. I'll pay for my own time of running around in the woods naked.
Yep.
And build a life accordingly. And so with that, like, that's 1612 weeks is what 31 years is. And if that's what I've got left, like, that's 1,621 weeks to go till death. So that means all my dreams, everything I want to experience, all that I can imagine accomplishing has to be done in that time window. And there's a lot of physical things I want to get done, which is a shorter window than that. Mm-hmm. And so I fucking better get started. And that pursuit of making that life worth dying for, because we are, has been great. It's been a fucking fire, man, and sharing that with other people who feel the same. I want that. I want that awakening and that awareness and a resource to other people who feel the way you do, so that you don't have to sell someone on the idea that you want more and why, because you should be happy with what you have. Fuck off.
Yeah.
I want more because I want more. Mm-hmm. You know, content and complacent aren't the same, like we talked about. And being able to have gratitude, but also want more and not have to explain it and waste any of that energy trying to catch the people around you up to speed. And instead having a group of people that just want to breathe oxygen into that fire and help you solve the problems mm-hmm. is such a different set of resources to be around. I know myself with building my network and resources, if you are the average of the five people you spend time with, man, I've got fucking wizards in my back. And not everyone has that. And not everyone's been as fortunate enough to get to those people. And so if I can mine what I can from places to bring back what I can to share and what's worked for me. And these are the resources I use, the books I read, the podcast I listen to, the journaling I do. Here's the activities I do. Let's talk about it and try some shit. Then I want to share. And watching people click on and see that they just go, oh, shit.
Yep.
Like, oh, I can do that. I didn't have to worry about what mom thought. Or they don't need permission from some imaginary figure to live their life. And seeing people give a fuck, man, feels really good.
Yeah. No, I love that. I totally love that and connect with you on that. When they get those light bulb moments, yeah, 100%.
And that's been the goal of the 1612. And so with that, we have some events we host. We do meetups here in St. Louis occasionally. It's just kind of a hangout for group members. And I open up dope in the world that we have here and kind of get to share it. Because I know how different it's been for me being around the people I admire and the people that I look to as mentors mm-hmm. and seeing the reality of it. Not just the post, not just the highlight reel. You know, so getting to see the good and the bad and the reality of that, it's still work. But you can do it. I'm not that fucking bright. And so doing that, and like we recently, in November, we're going to host our first men's retreat weekend. And I want to do some digger, you know, some deeper emotional work and some digging into people to kind of find purpose and figure out what's our why and what do we really want. And that's our Not Dead Yet weekend we're hosting in November. And all that's on the 1612.com site. So
perfect. So 1612.com, Hate mm-hmm. Brand, Habit yep. Coffee. Hate, yeah, Habit Coffee. You also said, don't you like have a cold plunge?
Not like a company. Okay. I own one.
Gotcha. I didn't know if you had a company with it or not.
No. Those guys, the Cold Plunge, are good friends. They're a sponsor of mine. A brand that I work with, and they make a great product.
Cool.
Perfect. I have a podcast, Not Dead Yet. I guess that's all the stuff. I have an Airbnb, some other random things that somehow equal an income.
But I love that. I see, like, again, I know we talked about this at the beginning. I love that you've designed the life you wanted to live, and you have the businesses to support it, and you just are you. And I think that's the biggest takeaway I get is that don't care or worry about what anyone else says or thinks. Just be fucking you, live your life, and that's it.
Look, and that's not a fucking excuse to be an asshole.
No, not at all.
And now a lot of people take that thing of like, don't give a fuck what anyone thinks. Like, that's an excuse to be an asshole. Like, that's not all right.
No.
It's not an excuse to that. Like, you know, do no harm and take no shit. You know, I want to live with intention of never causing someone else damage. And at no point in my pursuit for the greatest life I want to live, am I allowed to fucking hinder someone else's.
Yeah.
Them's the fucking hard rules.
I love it. I love it, man. Thank you for being on the show. And like you said, you can find him at Matt Vincent. You can find him at all the different companies he has. Share this episode with people. They need to hear it. And until next time, be amazingly you. Live well and enjoy life.